Welcome to Two Peas on a Podcast. These current events and hot topics aren't going to talk about themselves. And now, here are the two Peas, Andy and Gerald.
It's love. Benjamin's baby. Love.
Hold on. He just says for like 45 seconds.
Don't call him Diddy.
No, we're going to talk.
Don't call him Diddy.
Why do you think I played it? I was actually going to say, opening us up, Brother Love.
Don't call him Diddy. Apparently, he won't answer to Diddy. You know how I know? Because I called him yesterday. And I said, yo, Diddy. And he goes.
And he just hung up on you.
No, he didn't say anything.
Wow, he just sat there.
He just sat there. And I was like, okay, Brother Love. Goes,
I'm impressed you got him on the phone, though.
Yeah.
That's cool.
That's not. I mean, he's not doing much nowadays. Just hanging out.
Two Peas on a Podcast. Gerald is here.
Andy is across from Gerald.
Andy's here. Looking beautiful. Looking spiffy, brother.
You know, you got look good.
You're good, man. You got like a dresser on. I just look good.
It's hard not to look good.
It is hard for you not to look
good.
Yes,
it's difficult.
So, Brother Love.
Brother Love.
open us up there. I saw one of the late night hosts. They said that, you know, we're going to talk about it as our first topic in a second. But they said, Diddy changes his name to Brother Love, as in Brother Love's attention. So welcome in, episode, what did I tell you already yet?
Yes.
51, did I tell
you that? I got a quote. Gerald, if you changed your name to like an alias, what would you be?
Oh, that's a good loop.
That's a great loop.
Why didn't I throw you for that
one? What would your name be?
Well, you know, I have so many monikers already.
Yes.
G-Unit, G-Money.
People still.
G-Funk.
Yes.
G-Love.
Frosting. I would call you Frosting.
Why? Because I'm white? It's so racial.
Because you like to eat.
Oh, sweet okay. Things. All right, I got it. So I'm fat.
Yes.
That's why.
And white.
I knew it was either because I was white or fat.
White
or
fat. Both. They call me Frosting.
They call me Hairy Fat Short Guy. That's my nickname.
That's not clever at all.
I'm kidding.
You guys didn't take very long to come up with that.
They call it as they see it, brother.
Yes.
Episode 51, Two Peas on a Podcast. Welcome in, guys.
We're here.
Here we are again. Yes. How was your week?
It was a very, very good week.
You had a good week, brother? Anything happen?
It's cold.
Is that why it was a good week? Because nothing
I'm very excited.
Really
it's cold.
Nothing to report.
It's cold.
It is cold.
Yes.
It's getting a little nipply, brother.
Yes.
I can't. You prefer cold or hot?
I prefer cold. I love cold weather.
Kidding me? Actually, I do too. You know why? Because I hate sweating. I hate sweating.
Yes.
Sweaty.
Yes.
Don't you?
Well, I like everything about the cold. I like the chill in the air.
Perspiration drives me nuts.
The chill gives me energy, I feel like. I like wearing clothes. I know you don't.
Maybe that's one of the reasons I'm against it. But yes,
I like wearing clothes. I like long sleeve shirts and jackets and hats and hoodies. And I just like cold.
So you like bundling fires. Up there. You
like coffee up. By the fireplace.
Yeah, you do the fireplace.
I drink
thing.
Coffee all year long.
That's
but in
fun.
The winter, coffee gets really good.
Yeah, it's like you can do the fireplace, which is kind of, and especially somebody like you, you fucking read books 23 hours a day. I mean, all you're doing is sitting there like a fucking professor.
Dude, a fireplace, a cup of coffee, and a book sold.
That's what, you.
I don't need anything else.
But you can't do that.
It's like you.
So what's the
donut in a toilet.
Yeah, basically. So what's the
equivalent? I don't know why.
What's the equivalent? You've been spying on me again. I mean, what's the equivalent of reading a book by the fireplace in the summer?
Some people
by
like to read pool, a magazine by the pool. The pool's not comfortable.
Nah.
You know, I mean,
fucking sweat out there,
fun,
the sun's beating down on you.
Yay, I'm in the sun wearing nothing.
Now, if you're in the bikini zone, brother, you're sitting out there taking the sights. You know what I mean?
Do you like?
But.
The bikini zone? Is that a thing?
I don't know. It's just in my mind.
Is there
in my mind
up?
Is a thing.
You have a sign mind.
It's
mind
a thing
in
my mind, brother. Yes. Okay, don't make
welcome
fun of me.
Welcome to the bikini zone.
All right, so welcome to Two Peas on a Podcast, episode 51. Gerald and Andy are here, and Andy had a good week because today's my birthday.
Today's your birthday.
So last week was our
Happy birthday.
Thank you, brother. Last week was our birthday. Yes. We turned one, and Two Peas on a Podcast.
How old are you today?
And
that's the question.
42 years old.
42.
Can you believe that? I know, 42 years old.
42. Wow.
My son and wife did a little thing for me this morning. It was great. They
did what? What did they do?
Well, my son got me a Super Mario T-shirt.
He did.
He picked out himself.
Oh, that's awesome! You guys were the Mario Brothers for Halloween.
We were Super Mario Brothers for Halloween, and my wife got me the Echo, Amazon Echo.
Those things are so cool. They talk to you. You get to.
I got to fire it up. I got to see what it does. I'm excited. I'm off work tomorrow, so I'm planning on basically just spending the entire day with my Echo. I'll be listening back to the podcast on it. I'll be controlling my lights and my air conditioning with it. I'll be doing everything.
Do you think the Echo will actually talk to you?
You know, my goal is to eventually get so well, I know the Echo so well that I just don't ever have to fucking move. You know what I mean? That's that's my goal.
That's the idea.
It's just if I can just sit in
one
place.
I was on this couch all day long.
Didn't move. Thank you so much for the Echo.
This is great.
It's wonderful.
Yes.
If only it could check my mailbox for me. I don't think it can do that yet, though.
Yeah, it can check, it can check your email.
It can. Hey, yeah, it can check my electronic mail. There you go. All right. Let's get into a few entertainment topics.
You know,
here on the 2Ps, the news gets a little, a little depressing.
Does it?
Let's be honest. And by sometimes, I mean every fucking week.
Exactly.
In the year of the show. But in the beginning and at the end, we do bookends for first-time listeners, where we try to be a little lighter. Now, I'm putting that little disclaimer because the entertainment segment's even getting to be where it's like, geez, dude, will people stop molesting people? I mean, I can't get it. But before we get into that, let's talk about Brother Love.
You should have a billboard. You should have a billboard with Gerald from 2Ps on the billboard with a little bubble quote thing saying, will people stop molesting people?
The more you know, and it'll be like the NBC.
Stop molesting people. And then next time, let's say Kevin Spacey is driving by.
Just pop up my ad.
He looks up and goes, oh, maybe I should stop.
You know what? That guy's onto something. Yeah. Why have I been doing this for 32 years?
I shouldn't pick on Kevin Spacey.
Okay. Before we talk about molestation, real quick, what's your? We'll just talk about it because we open with it. But why, Pete? What is he? He was P. Diddy, or was he just Diddy?
No. He was Puff Daddy
originally,
and then he was Puffy. P. Diddy. No, Puff Daddy, Puffy, P. Diddy, Diddy, Brother Love.
Yeah, but he went back to Puff Daddy too. Yeah. So he's like changed his name like 5 times in 15 years. What's going on here? How do you feel about the Brother Love?
You can't
refer to him as Brother Love if you see him as Puff Daddy.
Most people who are incarnates or who are expressions of love have no desire to call themselves Brother Love.
There was a wrestler named Brother Love. Did you see that? There was a WWE wrestler named Brother Love that like roasted him on Twitter. He's like, I've already done that.
I mean, perhaps I should give Diddy the benefit of the doubt. Perhaps he's at a place in his life where he's like, you know what? I just want to be an expression of love. And part of me changing my persona is me changing my names. This is just what I do. I mean, we all have various personas.
Yeah.
We don't have names that go with our personas usually.
Yeah.
But maybe he's just like, you know what? I want to be Brother Love, so I'm going to call myself Brother Love, and it'll help me express it.
Brother Love.
Go, Diddy. Express yourself. Be Brother Love. You know, Brother Love's attention.
My thing is, I got no problem with him changing his name, but I'm just going to tell you right now, nobody's going to fucking call him Brother Love. You think when they play a song on the radio, they're going to say, here's Brother Love with no money, no problems.
All right.
I mean, nobody's going to fucking do that. You know what I mean? So it's like, what are you trying to accomplish here? All right. So let's get into some more serious topics, but they're in the entertainment realm. Okay. So we kind of get, well, I only got a couple here because I feel like we might spin off into this conversation. First one. So, you know, gun violence is like, you know, shaking me to my core. I hate it. But I want to talk a little bit about Marilyn Manson because he made the news last week. He's on tour right now. He's got a new album coming out.
When Marilyn Manson does something that's out of the norm of Marilyn Manson.
Yeah, when Marilyn Manson makes news for a shock, it's like, whoa, what the fuck did he do?
He decapitated a plastic baby.
What the fuck did he do? He like cut his cock off and slap a baby.
Exactly. Head with it. What can Marilyn Manson do to surprise us?
So anyway, what he did, he's on tour, like I said. He was in San Bernardino, California. You remember that from last year? There was a mass shooting there.
Now, give me the context. Was that
a terror
school thing?
No, it wasn't a school. It was like, I think it was just like in a public street. Okay. But like 3 or 4 people died from a mass shooting, and he claimed ISIS.
That's right.
That happened in San Bernardino last year.
And it's sad that they're all running together for me.
Exactly.
They're like, okay, is that a school? Yeah, that's, is that, you know? That's,
yeah, exactly. Sorry, and you're right.
It shouldn't, and I apologize.
And you're right. What happened is, for those of you that don't know or that might not be Manson fans, so Marilyn Manson is performing at a concert on his tour in San Bernardino, and he is pushed out onto the stage in a wheelchair. And
apparently he hurt his leg.
He actually needed the wheelchair to perform or whatever. But anyway, he's wheeled out by, you know, somebody on his crew. And during the performance of whatever song it was, I'm sorry, I don't know which one it was, but he pulls out a semi-automatic rifle and starts...
Like a toy? You think it's a real one? Or
He actually said it was a real one, but it wasn't loaded.
Okay.
But he starts like mimicking shooting the crowd with it. Mm-hmm. No bullets or anything, obviously. Okay. But just, you know.
We know, he says something like, I know where you live, or we know where you live.
Yeah.
And then he starts,
you know, pretending like he's spraying the crowd with a gun. Now, we just had the Vegas thing a month ago, which was an actual concert. San Bernardino, like I said, is that community that was there witnessing the show. The majority of them probably live there in that community.
And they're still
kind of. They experienced that a year ago.
I mean,
That was in there. I mean, you think we saw it in the news. How do you think they saw it there? Yeah. I mean, that was everywhere back there, yeah. I'm sure. So, I mean, I just want to ask you. I mean, we talk about free speech and First Amendment and all that stuff all the time. He's obviously an artist, you know, yeah. whether you like his music or not. I mean, he would definitely fall in the artist category.
Yeah.
Musician. What are your thoughts? Let me give you his quote.
Okay.
And because I actually...
Oh, so he commented on it afterwards.
He commented on the backlash.
Okay.
All right. And I kind of... And like, in a way, I'm kind of like, all right, I kind of see what he's saying.
Okay.
I don't think he should have done it. I think it was in bad taste, but I kind of see why he did it based
okay,
on his quote.
Give me the quote.
So his quote in response to it, he says, quote, in an era where mass shootings have become a nearly daily occurrence, this was an act of theater in an attempt to make a statement about how easily accessible semi-automatic weapons are and how seeing them has become normalized.
Oh, my. Okay.
He also goes on to say, my art has always been a reaction to pop culture and my way to make people think about the horrible things that may be going on in the world. My performance was not meant to be disrespectful or show any insensitivity.
Yes.
Unquote. That's Marilyn Manson's quote in response to the backlash. What do you think, man?
Now, of course, we always have to start with the general idea that he is free to do this as an artist. He didn't hurt anybody. He showed a weapon on stage. He pointed at him. So, and Marilyn Manson, his type of art, he's into shock. He wants to shock you.
Of course, yeah.
Now, there's a difference. There's a difference between shocking to shock, like my goal is just to shock you,
right.
and shocking to tell a message. At first, I was like, this just seems shocking to be like, okay, I know this happened here. I know this can get some attention. I'm going to do it.
Right.
But hearing that quote, he actually has a point.
That's what I was saying, too.
I mean, these weapons are easy to get. I'm standing on stage. He was probably making the point, like, if I pull this out, if it doesn't shock you, if it doesn't surprise
that's
you...
That's the problem.
That's the problem. Yeah. Now, of course, the fact that it's a year later in San Bernardino, yes, that's slightly insensitive.
Yeah, I think the place was
a
little...
But if I piss you off, or if I hurt you, but it causes you to rethink your position, is it worth it?
Right.
That's the question. What do you think about that? Like, if I hurt you or piss you off, but now you're going to rethink your stance on guns, is it worth it?
Yes.
Okay.
When it comes to gun control, yes, exactly. I would say so.
I think that's probably what goes through the mind of these artists. Like, yeah, I'm going to shock you. I'm going to piss some people off, but that's okay if it moves us
forward.
Right.
So it's like, you know, in the 70s when Ozzy Osbourne was eating bats' heads, I mean, he was just doing that to shock people.
Yeah.
You know, he wasn't doing it for animal rights.
And he was also,
you know what I mean?
He was on drugs.
You know what I mean?
He's like, I bit the bat's head because I thought it was a burrito.
He's like, oh, shit, that was a bat? That was delicious.
I'm so sorry.
I'm going to do that this entire tour now. Yeah. But you see what I'm saying? So
there's
I was,
a difference. At first, I just thought, yeah. Okay.
When I first read it, which I think is the article I sent to you,
yeah.
like the morning after it happened,
I was like, okay, he just
I was like,
to.
Whoa, this is fucking, why did he step on those toes? Like, he shouldn't have been doing that.
Those are big toes.
In San Bernardino, exactly. of all places, you know? It'd be like if he had been in Vegas, you know? And it's like, dude, that just happened. Like, why are you doing that?
Yeah.
But then when I read his quote, I'm like, well, he's right. It's a daily, at least a weekly occurrence. Yeah. I mean, we just had another one in California yesterday, the school shooting.
Yeah.
But it was like the whole town. The guy went on a rampage with a semi-automatic weapon. That's, he's right. You can't read that quote and go, what the fuck's he talking about?
Now, I
you read that quote and you go, he is right. This is a nearly daily occurrence. He was an act of theater. He's an artist.
He is.
He's using that platform that he has on stage to show how easy it is and how it has become normalized.
Yeah. Now, I wonder.
I agree
with
you.
Of course, we get the snapshot. I'd like for something to happen on stage where somehow the people witnessing the, quote, theater know that's his position.
Right.
Like him pointing, right. I have you in my sights. Look, I have a semi-automatic weapon. This was not hard to get.
Right.
Are you surprised that I'm pointing?
So you would have been. So you would have appreciated it more if it had come with some commentary?
Now, who knows? Who knows that maybe the shock is a part of it, but who knows at the concert what happened?
But also think about this too, Andy, though. We talked about some billboards and paintings and stuff of Trump in the past. So think about this too, though. Painters or artists, they'll often paint a picture and you'll be staring at it and go, what the fuck does this mean?
Yeah.
And you don't know.
And you, it gets you,
you know,
thinking.
It's a piece of art of that makes you think. And you're like, I don't, what, why is this guy fucking a tree? Like, what is this? You know what I mean? So from that standpoint, if it's truly an expression of art, he's explaining himself because there was a backlash.
Yeah. And
probably because he felt bad. Like, dude, that's not what I meant. I wasn't trying to be insensitive.
Yeah, exactly.
I just want to show these people like, hey, gun violence is a fucking problem.
Exactly.
This is my way of showing you that it is a problem.
Yes. And yes, when I point a semi-automatic weapon at you, even if it's not loaded and you know that this guy's probably not going to shoot me, I'm still pointing a weapon at you. This is still a dangerous thing that we have circulating in our community.
And anybody can do
it. Look how this makes you feel when I point it at you. That's a good point.
Well, brother, not that this is going to bring anybody up, but let's talk about...
what is this? Is our light. This Jesus. Is not a light bookend.
Well, it's our entertainment
bookend.
You have
boulders on the edge of our bookend.
It's our entertainment bookend, and everybody in entertainment's fucking creeping everybody out lately. So Louis C.K., I will admit, is one of my favorite comedians. One of my favorite stand-up comedians. He has been for probably 10 years. Watched his show on FX. I've seen every episode. Watched his comedy specials on Netflix.
And which, you said it yourself bold, right here, 10 years. He has become a comic icon.
Yeah.
Everyone knows who Louis C.K. is. He is established in the industry.
Dude.
People look up to him.
Dude, do you know this? I named my cat after him. Now, my cat doesn't masturbate in front of people. So that's not why I named him that. But Louis.
What is your cat doing?
Right there, dude. Look at him. That's Louis C. Cat.
And I'd like to say that.
So how do you think
Gerald's
I feel?
Gerald's correct. Louis C.K. the cat is not masturbating.
Not right now. Give him a minute. I don't know. He gets excited when you come over here. But you see what I'm saying? So how do you think I feel? I named my pet after this guy.
Okay.
I forgot
about that.
He's one of my favorite comedians.
Okay. Now what happened? Tell us what happened. But, give us the
story. So everyone knows the story.
Okay.
There's been whispers kind of floating around for the last 1 to 2 years.
Yes.
And Louis C.K. has denied them every time they come up.
I think what's happening in our current environment, those whispers are getting louder. I think we're going to we're going to start paying attention to those whispers now.
Exactly. Well, 5 different women in the last week have come forward with similar stories accusing Louis of basically, well, I don't know how else to say it, but basically masturbating in front of them kind of without their consent.
Yes.
So he'll lure them into a room or whatever.
But he'll ask. He'll say,
I want to read his statement in a second, but he claims he asked them, like, hey, you want to see my dick? And if they say yes, he pulls it out and starts jerking off.
If they say yes?
That's what he says. I don't know. I mean, he's saying that he didn't do this without them at least saying, well, here, let me read his quote.
Okay.
Let me read his quote because this will make a little more sense.
Are these all female comedians?
Yes. All female comedians that he's been on tour with.
Okay.
Or worked with in some way.
Yeah. At least those are the ones that have come forward.
Yes. The 5 that have come forward. 4 of them are comedians that he's done sets with before. And then there was a girl that he worked on a TV pilot with.
Okay.
And they're all female comedians.
There's a pattern emerging.
So Louis releases a statement. He goes, quote, these stories are true. At the time, I said to myself that what I did was okay because I never showed a woman my dick without asking her first. But what I learned later in life, too late, is that when you have power over another person, asking them to look at your dick isn't a question. It's a predicament for them.
Oh, interesting.
The power I had over these women is that they admired me at the time, and I wielded that power irresponsibly. I want to also add this. I've been remorseful, and I've tried to learn from these actions, unquote. So I want to, we only got a few minutes because, you know, like I said, it's our first bookend, but I want to see what you think about the unforgiving popular media, if you will, the Hollywood, being so unforgiving regardless of the celebrity's reaction. Because Kevin Spacey, I was against his reaction. I was like, dude, you used that opportunity to come out as gay. You didn't really admit to it. You said you were drunk.
He said, I don't really remember.
It was a little passive in my opinion, so I didn't really. But now Louis C.K. straight up like, you know what? This is true. I did this shit. I was a creep. This is why I did it.
And he actually, the interesting thing
so
about the statement.
So where are you at on that?
The interesting thing about the statement, of course, the biggest question is always, is it sincere? And we'd like to think it's sincere. We hope it's sincere. But the starkness of the truth, like, yes, I did this. And he's actually saying the things we've been talking about each week now with the Harvey Weinsteins and the Kevin Spaceys. It's a power thing.
Right.
Him saying that, you know, me, this puts them in a predicament because I'm basically using my power over them.
Right.
Because if they look up to me, if I'm a comic icon, they're on tour with me, and I say, hey, can I jack off in front of you?
Right. And he's saying, I can't.
Of
they're
course
not going to
say
no say
yes.
because they don't want to.
Yeah, they don't want to. Yeah, they don't want to hurt their career.
And that's what he's saying. It's like more of a predicament than a question.
I think he also mentioned that I know there's nothing I can do to fix this. He actually said, I'm not going to talk for a while, meaning I'm not going to do anything for a while. I'm just going to listen.
Right.
That was kind of a statement. So if it's sincere, it doesn't make it better.
No.
But I appreciate
that. But where
is the... I appreciate the honesty.
How can I put this without sounding like I'm being sexist? What I'm saying is, where is the compassion for him in this case?
Yeah.
I mean, of course, this is so many, however many, I don't know how many years actually, but so many years later. But he, in my, again, if it's sincere, let's just assume it is.
Okay.
He's remorseful. He's trying to learn from his actions. He's taking a step back to, like you said, listen, which he actually said in the statement.
Okay.
I'm going to take a step back. I'm going to listen to these women. I'm going to listen to the issues that are going on in Hollywood. I'm part of the problem, basically.
Yeah.
And he's admitting that. He's saying that. He's not denying, and he's not, like, Spacey passing it off to an excuse.
No.
You know, he's just saying, I had this...
He actually apologized for his agent or his manager for having to try to wield the storm or trying to fix the storm. Yeah.
People have creepy vices. You know what I mean? Like, shit that they're ashamed of.
Yes.
It could be something like drugs. drugs.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're addicted to drugs, that's not something you're proud of.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? You go to jail for that kind of thing. Yeah. You lose family members for that kind of thing. Yeah. That can destroy you. You
and
know
yes,
what I mean?
When your vice hurts someone else, I think we see it differently.
Right. Right.
Like if he was like, oh yes, I'm on drugs, I'm going to try to get some help. We're like, oh, poor guy's on drugs.
Right.
I guess it's different when it hurts somebody else. And I think you're right. The way our society is structured right now and what we're dealing with, there's a large insensitivity or a large actually sensitivity to the power struggle over men and women,
yeah.
Especially when sex is involved, especially in the entertainment industry. So I think you're right, environmentally and societally, we don't want to give them the benefit of the doubt right now.
Right.
We want to hunt them down, destroy them.
Well, that's the question I have, because I don't agree with what he did, obviously.
Of course.
But, and I do think it was an abuse of power,
yeah.
Which he admits to.
Yes.
But I guess what I'm saying is like, in other words,
we forgive?
What's the kind of hierarchy for forgiveness and for like second chances?
Yes.
Do you know what I'm saying? Because he came clean, brother. He's like straight up like, you know what? Yep, I did it. I'm a creep. I shouldn't have done it. I have this thing that I fucking suffer from or whatever.
Yeah.
I feel bad for doing and I'm going to try to learn from it. Blah, blah, blah. Whatever. All the shit that he said, which I thought was sincere. Like you said, it depends on if it's sincere or not.
Yeah.
But assuming it's sincere, in other words, do you think his career should be over? He should never work again because of what happened in his response?
Because of the way the entertainment business works, it's not whether I think his career is over.
No, I'm just asking
your
opinion.
It's whether or not people will still go see him, mm-hmm. whether or not people will still buy his albums or whatever.
Yeah.
Now, I think his sincerity in coming forward gives him a better chance to move forward and to prove himself again.
Yeah.
He'll have to basically start over again.
Yeah.
I'd like to think that remorse and sincerity does have a part to play here. And just to let you know in my kind of philosophy, I think we should try to transcend judgment. We don't prosecute the Harvey Weinsteins of the world because we should judge them. We do that to protect our society and to protect future women from falling into this category and moving forward as a society. Judgment doesn't have to play a role because you're like you said, we all have things we're ashamed of.
Yeah.
We all hurt other people. We all have vices and we should all be helping each other move beyond them. So I say we should take every opportunity to one, of course, move forward as a society and say, well, we don't want to put women in this position anymore. We want to be more sensitive to that. But also, we want to help people like this. If you want help, we want to help you. And we want to help you get better
move
forward.
I'm sure he'll come out at some point, whether it's on one of his friends' talk shows or whatever. But it was tough for me because I love him, you know, and it's a creepy thing to hear about. And like I said, I'd heard like little whispers about it like a year ago, but it was not huge news. And he denied it.
Specifically about this specific?
Well, about him masturbating in front of people.
Really?
Yeah, I can't remember the comedian's name, but somebody called him out on it like a year ago and he denied it and it never really made big news. And everybody's kind of like, oh, you know, she's trying to like whatever. So I never really like looked into it. And then, of course, this happened and you have five more women.
The first step to becoming a better person and a better society is being honest with yourself.
Yeah. I think
he's being honest with himself, this is a good first step. Like I said,
we don't
want to undermine what happened to the women here.
Kevin Spacey's another huge one, right?
Yeah.
That's been in the news recently. So I will say, if you put the Kevin Spacey scandal and the Louis C.K. scandal, Spacey definitely is the what not to do in your statement. And Louis C.K., in my opinion, is a good statement.
Yeah.
It's a stark contrast, brother.
There is.
It's like, because Louis C.K. is owning up to it. He's taking full ownership of it. Yeah. He's accepting the consequences, which what I'm trying to get across here is I feel like maybe they're too harsh, but I also think it might be because it's too soon.
Yeah.
People haven't really had time to kind of soak it in yet. Whereas Spacey's just kind of like, maybe I did it. I don't know. But guess what? I'm gay. You know, like that's not, those are two completely different things.
Yeah.
All right. So we're going to get into our one deep topic, Andy.
Okay.
Which is more sexual molestation. So buckle up, buttercup. Here we go. But before we do that, let's do our pee break. You want to do that? You need to pee?
I have some coffee, so
you might need to pee.
I can pee.
This week's featured pod friend of the week is The Horribly Awkward Show.
Really? Is it a horribly awkward show?
It is, which this episode's shaping up to be. fits right in. But Sean over there, Horribly Awkward, is a great guy, a good friend of mine on Facebook, and he's had me on a show before, and he's hilarious. He's a video gamer. He talks about all kinds of shit, has people on for interviews, and he does a really good show over there. But we got him to do our rapid fire segment.
Yeah.
So he's going to answer some of our quick fire questions on our pee break, and then when we come back, we will get into our one deep topic, which this week is Roy Moore, brother.
Oh, goodness.
The adult Woody from Toy Story that's creeping everybody out. All right. So
that works on so many levels.
Sit tight and we will be right back.
All right.
It's time for this week's pee break, featuring our pod friend of the week.
All right, guys, this is this week's pee break. As you know, take a little pee-pee and sit back. We got Sean from the Horribly Awkward Show this week. He is our featured pod friend of the week. Sean, brother man, I got 10 rapid-fire questions for you. I hope you are ready.
Yep, I got my phone. I'm standing right above the toilet. Hold on, when do I start peeing?
Here we go, man. Your first question. If you could only eat one food for the rest of your life, what would it be?
Sushi.
If a movie was made about your life, who would play you?
Rob Corddry.
Fruits or vegetables?
Vegetables.
All right. What is your dream job?
Fucking podcaster, man. What do you think?
There it is. Where is the worst...
Porn star.
A porn star, yeah. Where is the worst place you could be stuck, unable to leave?
The DMV.
TV or the internet?
The internet. Come on.
What compliment do people give you the most?
They say that I'm not awkward, which totally defeats the purpose of me being me.
Should probably look at a rename there. Okay, if you could choose your own nickname, what would it be?
Handsome.
That's what I call you.
Mr. Handsome.
The beach or the mountains?
The mountains.
Okay, and the last question, which everyone knows is coming. Describe your podcast in 3 words only, Sean.
Horribly not awkward.
There you go. The Horribly Awkward Show, regardless of what he just said. It'll be, all of his information will be in the show notes. Sean, thanks so much, buddy, for being the featured pod friend of the week this week, brother.
Yeah, man, thank you. Oh, I'm still peeing, though.
Welcome back, guys. Two Peas on the Podcast,
hey!
Episode 51. I think, right? Yeah, 51. All right, so thank you to Sean and the Horribly Awkward Show there for being our featured pod friend of the week. That was a lot of fun to do that pee break there. And this week, we're going to do our one deep topic. We have about 20 minutes, Andy, to discuss Roy Moore.
Interesting.
The Senate candidate from Alabama, state of Alabama.
Has he ever been a senator before? I know he was a judge, or he's done a lot of things in the public eye and for the government.
He was a judge.
Has he been?
He's running for office, but I don't think he
ever. So this is his first time running for Senate.
That's accurate. Okay. That's accurate. He's been a judge for many, many years in the state of Alabama. Just to give you a little bit about this guy, and I'm not making this up. This is straight off the fact sheets here.
Okay.
He has been on record as saying that he believes homosexual conduct should be illegal.
Oh, goodness.
He has also said that Muslims should not be permitted to serve in the U.S. government.
Okay.
Those are two things that he has said publicly that he stands by.
So as far as the left and right dichotomy, so he's pretty extreme.
My point, the reason I want to bring this up is because he's a Republican, which I should say, and he's part of the GOP there. So the reason I bring those two things up, which have nothing to do with what we're going to talk about really, is to mold kind of the person he is and kind of the views that he has of America, and to say, no matter what we're about to say, he shouldn't be fucking U.S. Senate, brother.
Exactly.
Based on what we've just said.
Yes.
I mean, he does not have a progressive view of the country. Let's put it that way. Homosexuals should be illegal. Muslims shouldn't be in the Congress. Those are two things I just want to point out right off the top. So the Senate candidate in Alabama, Roy Moore, is who we're talking about. 4 women have come forward that they were pursued sexually by Moore in the 70s and 80s.
When he was 32-ish. Well,
different ones, but the most notable one is he was 32 years old in 1979 when he came on to a 14-year-old at the time. Her name was Lee Korfman, or is Lee Korfman.
Mm-hmm.
There were also 3 other women involved in the allegations. One of them was 16, one was 17, and one was 18.
Okay.
So they all range in the age from 14 to 18, and he was 32 to 35.
From extremely creepy to slightly creepy.
Range, right. Yes. It's all from a Washington Post expose report that they did. They investigated more over several months.
Okay.
And they finally released their report last week, and this is when all this became public. The 14-year-old that we were talking about, Lee Korfman. So Moore allegedly offered to watch her outside a courthouse for her mom, who was going, who had to go into court. He subsequently took advantage of his took advantage of this to kiss and fondle her after undressing and down to his underwear. So that's how the...
So very specific. Her account is very specific.
That's how the account's recalled. Okay. The hashtag me at 14 has been trending on Twitter. Mm-hmm. Everybody's sharing, or women are sharing images of themselves at the age of 14 and what they were into.
Which sounds odd at first, but then when you look at these pictures, you see like, wow, these women, 14's young.
Exactly.
It reminds you just how young
exactly
14 actually is.
And ironically, Anthony Rapp was 14 at the time of the Kevin Spacey allegation as well.
That's young.
It definitely is young. I have a 16-year-old daughter. Let me tell you, it's young, brother. Yeah. I'll tell you right now. Celebrities such as Alyssa Milano and Katie Couric joined that movement on Twitter and shared images of themselves at 14. Mm-hmm. I'll just go ahead and say, but Roy Moore is forcefully denying the allegations, calling it fake news.
Yeah.
Does that sound familiar?
Yes.
And it was a story paid for by the Democrats to affect this current Senate race.
He is using the classic, that has become the classic Trump and Republican denial. Yeah. I mean, not just Republican, but that, okay, this is fake news. It's all propagated by the Democrats to try to destroy the Senate race, which is a special race, right? It's not just...
Right. It's a special election because Jeff Sessions is the Attorney General. So it's to replace him.
Okay.
So they had to have a special election to replace him.
Okay.
By the way, fucking baffled my mind, but yesterday they ran a poll and Moore is still winning.
Yes.
Moore is still winning with 49% of the vote. His opponent, Jones, has 43%, and there's 8% that's undecided. The poll does have a margin of error of 2% or not. It was 3,000 likely voters in different counties in Alabama.
Okay.
What the fuck's going on in Alabama, brother?
It's not just Alabama. I mean,
well, true.
Yeah, it's the whole world.
True, but I mean,
it's humanity in general.
So we're talking about... Okay. I'm sorry. We're talking about... reaction and responses from people that are being that the allegations are against. We talked about Louis C.K.'s response earlier. So what do you think here? I mean, he's denying it.
Okay.
He's saying this fake news. He even made a joke about it last night. I didn't send that to you because I just saw it this morning.
Okay.
But he even kind of joked around about it, that he was bringing Republicans and Democrats together over a scandal because Republicans are asking him to step aside. And of course, Democrats are.
Of course.
So what do you think here? I mean... In other words, he's saying it's not true. It happened almost 40 years ago.
Yeah.
38 years ago. It happened 38 years ago. He's saying it's not true. I mean, you could argue that it's a little fishy that it came up now.
Yes.
3 weeks before the election.
Yes, yes.
You could argue that.
That's one thing.
Doesn't change if it happened, of course.
And of course, there's a difference.
What do you think of
his difference in something like this being used politically and something like this being fabricated and used politically. Mm-hmm. Of course, it's being used politically because, you know, they want to, one, if it did happen, this guy should not be in the government. Two, even if it didn't happen,
he probably still
shouldn't be in the government.
Right.
But now this is an interesting case because just a day or so ago, he was interviewed by Fox News correspondent.
We're going to talk about that too, Sean Hannity.
Sean Hannity. And
who's
that's
a fucking gem of a guy.
I cannot talk about this situation without talking about that interview because
go ahead, please,
this is one of the very first times where you actually have. Now, the interview was actually, it was the interviewer, not a big fan, but he did a really good job. Asked him some point blank questions, took him through the entire scandal, asked him questions over and over again when he wasn't getting the response, the clear response. But in that interview, here's what happened. Asked point blank about the 14-year-old. Now, he says that the 14-year-old, I don't know her. I don't know her parents. This did not happen, period. Then asked subsequently about each of the other girls. Now, the other girls, he said, I do recall knowing their parents.
Right.
I do recall knowing maybe the girl. I don't recall dating them. So then he gets a little more wishy-washy, like, okay, 40 years ago, I don't recall going on dates with them. I do recall knowing their parents. Now, then he was asked this, which is interesting. Okay, let's put it out there. You're 32 years old. Do you date 18, 19 years old? Is that something you do? He says over and over again, I don't recall.
Right.
That seems out of my character.
Right.
So it got a little more blurry when he was asked, this is something
he definitely kept it in generalizations. Here's a couple quotes that lend to that point. So Sean Hannity asked him, like you said, kind of over and over again about his...
No, he was trying... I mean, it was a great interview. He was trying to tell me whether or not at 32 you date 18-year-old.
Exactly.
Yeah,
he was trying to get him to say whether or not he was into young
girls,
basically.
And is that okay? And is that... If you didn't, do you think that's okay?
So Hannity's trying to get him to ask that. Hey, did you date young girls at that time in your life? And Moore's response immediately was not generally no.
Now, Geraldo Rivera said, okay, you're saying that not generally. So there is an exception to the rule. Okay.
Right. And then he said,
and
right.
That's something I think you'd remember, even if it's 40 years
ago.
And
then he followed up with that, quote, if I did, I'm not going to dispute anything, but I don't remember anything like that.
But unquote. Then at the end of the interview, he pushed him and pushed him and pushed him. And finally he said, no, that when I was 30 or so, I did not date teenagers.
Right.
So because of the interview, all this is circumstantial, of course.
Yeah.
Like Geraldo Rivera told us, it's all he said, she said. But in the interview, to see how kind of foggy it is, especially, I mean, I know it's 40 years ago, right. And I know you want to push this agenda that it's just a story that Democrats are selling, but even if it was, you should remember, okay, when I'm 30, I'm not dating teenagers.
Right.
Or if you did, you would say, you know what? 18, 19 is the legal age, and yes, when I was 32 years old, I probably dated some 19-year-olds.
Yeah, I mean, this is a classic.
You have to have dated a lot of people not to remember.
This is a classic example of he probably did this, and he doesn't want to admit it.
Yeah.
And he doesn't think there's any proof to quote-unquote prove it. Yeah. It's going to be word against word. He obviously has a lot of the voters on his side because he's still winning the polls.
And it's interesting that with the 14-year-old, who, I mean, that's like easing over into black and white creepiness, meaning right. This is definitely not okay, especially in art. I mean, maybe at one point in time in history, men dated a 14-year-old, but we've come a little farther. Mm-hmm. We do a lot of things now that
and there's laws in place.
Haven't done before.
It's against the law.
It's interesting with that one. He's like, no, I don't know her. I don't know the parents. But when it gets to 18 and 19, he's like, yeah, I knew the parents, but it doesn't seem like
no, it's
my
all
character.
A little foggy. And people have said, including on the side of the GOP, people have said, you know, your answers aren't convincing me.
Yeah.
You know, and they're asking him to step aside. Not all of them, but a lot of Democrats and Republicans are asking him to step aside because, I mean, the controversy just, I mean, in other words, is it worth the GOP for the controversy? And I don't think it is.
Yeah.
I don't think the seat in Alabama is worth that. And they're talking about doing a write-in. So they'll write in another candidate. Yeah. And that's going to be tough to win because it's not going to have, was it 20 days or whatever to campaign?
And of course,
but
in the Trump context as well, anytime someone pushes, it's a story made up, they're trying to hurt me, it's a story made up, fake news, fake news, fake news. Anytime you try to push that agenda, I mean, it just makes it seem a little more fishy.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, he's not owning up to anything, first of all. And he's not explaining an alternate truth that would show this to be false.
Especially if you live in the black and white world of homosexuality is evil and wrong and should be illegal, Muslims should not be. If you live in that world of extremes, you should also have an extreme for 30-year-olds don't date 14-year-olds. 30-year-olds don't date 18-year-olds.
Exactly.
Like, it's interesting that it should be like, you know what? I'm a conservative Christian.
Right.
Yeah. I don't date children.
Exactly. Like, he's against homosexuality, but not pedophilia. I mean, which one's worse?
You know? I always say, beware extremes. Extremes are usually masking something, either fear or anger. You know, I'm afraid of what's different. That's usually the case. Or it's usually masking a situation where you're trying to cover up for things that you do. You know, when you push to an extreme, you do that to promote an image to hide something. I mean, not all the time, but it's a little
in your opinion, based on the fact that he's denied it, based on the fact that you can't really prove it, and based on the fact that it's he said, she said, do you think Roy Moore, in your opinion, should step aside from the race on his own accord?
Now, him stepping aside would have to be him admitting there was something fishy going on.
I don't think he's
going
to do that.
Now, could you have a conscience for this country large enough that would say, I want to step aside because the scandal is bad for the Senate and for the country?
That's probably what he'll say.
I would like for him to do that, like saying that, okay, this didn't happen, but I don't want this scandal. Now, if it plain didn't happen, one, he should be a little more clear about it.
That's what I'm saying. He should be a little more proven.
Two, he should not stop fighting because it's what's right. You know, this is a fabricated story. I'm not going to give up. I believe what I believe in. So it's just a little too blurry for me.
Yeah. Well, you mentioned Sean Hannity's interview, which also made big news, kind of a spinoff subject from this.
Yeah.
But Sean Hannity, you know, at the end of the interview or after, mm-hmm. you know, after he'd already said bye to Moore at the end of his show, he basically told his viewing audience to refrain from jumping to conclusions. And he, you know, used the whole innocent until proven guilty approach, which, you know, as of right now, he's officially innocent. Nothing's been proven. There's allegations.
He mentions a lot the court of public opinion.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So he kind of, I don't know if sighed is the right word, because he actually made another statement last night, which I didn't tell you because, I just saw it this morning. But that was what he said initially.
Yeah.
I think it was Sunday when he had the interview initially. And then Tuesday, which was yesterday, he says, you know, look, I know there's been a lot of backlash about my statements when I had Roy Moore on. What I'm saying is, after reflecting on it and after watching his interview and reading a little bit more about it, I give Roy Moore 24 hours personally to either own up to the accusations or to show me something that's going to say, oh, well, he didn't do that.
Yeah.
Because right now it's all generalizations and blurry memories.
It is. And it is.
And that's not convincing me. That's what Hannity said.
Yeah. Now, I don't... I have no problem, honestly, with the way Hannity handled it. Now, he did seem to push that agenda a little hard. Like, he kept saying, I'm playing devil's advocate here. We don't have any concrete information. And he errs to the side of what we talk about a lot. In our society right now, you're guilty right away.
Yeah.
Now, Geraldo Rivera actually broke it down and told us why, which I thought was wonderful. Geraldo Rivera said, you know what? I do the same thing. You do it. We all do it. We tend to want to believe those who share our opinions. We tend to want to persecute those who don't share our opinions.
Of course.
Because that's just who we are.
Right.
We identify with people. And if we identify with someone, that's why things like Bill Cosby and Kevin Spacey and Louis C.K. can be so hard, because we grew up with them. We identify with them. We want them to be right.
True.
So in that context, Hannity has a point. In the, quote, court of public opinion, we do persecute right away.
Mm-hmm.
Right away.
Mm-hmm.
And not everyone, but because of social media, because we can group together so quickly now, opinions catch fire.
Yeah.
And get out there real
quick.
But
my thing, too, is
he did seem to push a little too hard.
Like, you're
right. He had a great interview. It was a great interview.
You're right. But my opinion, too, is that it's when it gets to be so many that it's a pattern. Like, I don't get that. In this case, what did I say it was? Five, right?
Yeah.
Four women.
Yeah.
With very similar stories. All were very young at the time, and he was in his 30s.
Yeah. In the then moment.
You have, and then exactly. You have somebody like Louis C.K. where it's five women. Of course, now he owned up to it. Yeah. But I'm just saying, it's hard to kind of deny that. Spacey, there's like 30 people to this point.
Yeah.
So, of course, Spacey's a creep. I mean, 30 people aren't going to, in my opinion, aren't going to make up a bunch of very similar stories like of his personality,
mm-hmm.
you know, coming on to guys and grabbing them on their crotch and that kind of thing. They're all very similar in nature.
Yeah.
So it's like, that must be part of who he is, at least.
And Hannity seemed to be playing that role. In that, like, he interviewed, I think there was three or four people on the panel, maybe whatever you want to call it, a panel.
Right.
They, like I said, it was a great interview. He asked some great questions. He didn't back down. Everyone seemed to get the gist of the interview and how telling it was, except him at the time. Right. Now, he could just be playing that role like, you know what?
Right.
I want to be devil's advocate. I want to be the arbitrator. But everyone else in the room was like, dude, well, first of all, that was a great interview. Second of all, did you hear his answers?
Right.
I mean, come on.
Not very convincing.
Like, oh, I don't know the 14-year-old. Well, I kind of know these guys' moms. Well, I didn't probably date them. It's out of my character. Well, what do you mean? Well, you know, Yes, no. Okay, no. I don't ever, you know.
I saw somebody in Alabama.
I mean, everyone else was like, dude, did you listen to what he said?
I saw there was like a mall manager in Alabama in the 80s that came forward yesterday to the Today Show or something, or this morning to the Today Show, that Roy Moore used to hang out at the mall and bother teenage girls walking around the mall.
Wow.
So that's another story
wearing
to kind of go
gun
on.
In his hat.
Hopefully. I don't know. But in response to the Hannity
interview. Come on.
Yeah, this is what we're going to get into.
Okay, this is so telling. This happens all the time.
In response to the Hannity interview.
Before he says this, I just want you to know I'm enjoying a nice cup of coffee that was made by
a
Keurig.
Keurig, yes, absolutely right.
Oh, it's pronounced Keurig.
Keurig.
It's not Keurig.
Come on.
Encyclopedia.
Put your nose up when you say it. So Hannity, like I said, was like, look, you know, he's innocent until proven guilty. Let's not jump to conclusions.
Which
you know, that
is,
whole
I mean, it's true.
It's true. Okay, so that happened. So then
exactly.
Some people tweeted at Keurig and some other advertisers that are always on Hannity's show.
Well, yeah, Keurig pulled their advertising.
And so did Realtor.com. So Realtor.com and Keurig pulled their advertising.
Okay, I guess.
Well, they pulled their advertising until the Roy Moore thing kind of dissipates a little bit. So it wasn't like permanently.
And plus, I mean, they're companies. They're trying to sell products. If they see something that's going to be a detriment to, like, why would you pay for advertising if the advertising is going to be a detriment to your company?
Right.
So, I mean, it's not, I don't think it's Keurig as a company believes one thing or the other. I just think they want to sell more coffee.
Yeah. So let me tell everybody what happened. So they pulled their advertising.
True.
They pulled their advertising for a period of time.
Yes.
Until they figure out what's going on.
And now what?
And then The next day, there was a kind of viral, it went viral, of conservatives and pro-Hannity viewers.
Destroying their Keurig.
Destroying their Keurigs.
I will never drink coffee out of a Keurig again.
So they're throwing them off the roof of their house. They're saying, they're telling everybody, quote, it was a hashtag boycott Keurig. We've talked, so I got a screenshot I sent you, which I thought was funny. Now, it's liberal. I'm liberal, so I think it's funny. But it's true. So this guy tweeted, he says, and this is after the Keurig thing. He says, Trump supporters have boycotted Hawaii, Nordstrom, Starbucks, Netflix, Pepsi, Budweiser, Nabisco, Macy's, Amazon, Ben & Jerry's, Apple, Ford, AT&T, Hamilton, Star Wars, and now Keurig. But the Democrats are snowflakes.
I mean, that's just kind of what we do. You know, I think we all want to be heard. We all want our opinions to matter. We all want to participate in what we believe in.
Dude, we talked about this on one of our early shows because a friend of ours...
Drinking coffee is not going to make you...
Yeah, here's what I'm going to tell you.
A good or a bad person.
Okay, look, let me tell you. Me and you on one of our early...
Tell me.
One of our early shows, okay. A good mutual friend of ours, Michael, okay. Probably listening right now. He listens every week.
Hey, Michael!
I love him. I love him. Okay, he's a great, great guy. He's more knowledgeable than I am in the world politics.
He knows more about everything.
No, seriously, he does.
Either one of us.
Seriously,
he knows a lot. Yeah,
like I'm not kidding. I'm being serious. But he boycotts Chick-fil-A because like 3 or 4 years ago, the CEO came out that he was against gay marriage.
Yes.
When that was trying
Truett
to be
legal. Truett Cathy, God rest his soul, he's dead now, I think.
Yeah.
Yes, he's
his
very
son runs it too, though.
Very
and said
Christian,
the same thing. They're not open on Sunday, bro.
Yeah, kind of came out that, you know, I'm kind of against hiring homosexuals.
But anyway, as an example, so he in 5 years, he hasn't eaten Chick-fil-A.
Okay.
Him and I used
Which
to get
is his right. It's his right.
Absolutely. Him and I used to get Chick-fil-A every morning. I joked that I owe him like $3,000 in Chick-fil-A biscuits because he used to bring me one every morning. We would work together.
Dude, spicy chicken biscuit. Get out of town.
But
that's good.
Here's what I want to tell you, dude. And no offense to Michael or anyone else.
Okay, tell me.
Boycotting businesses is stupid. Boycotting products is stupid. It doesn't do anything. That company is not. In fact, it could be argued that companies are making more money because they're in the news more. There's more publicity for them. So, like Keurig, for example. I wouldn't be surprised if, and of course the holiday season's coming up, but regardless, I wouldn't be surprised if the numbers for Keurig sales jump in the next few weeks because of this controversy. I don't, in other words, this is me personally. I don't know if this is your view. Now, they do have the right, absolutely, like you said, Michael and everybody else has the right to not buy or not eat whatever they want.
Yeah.
I personally don't look at it that way.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't look at it. I love Starbucks. If Starbucks CEO said something tomorrow that offended me, I'd probably be back in a Starbucks in 2 days.
Now, like, it sounds a little different.
I'm not going to.
If you find out like Starbucks is employing child labor in some, you know, some country in Siberia.
Right.
Where
but
know,
here's my
as,
thing.
As a company
right.
and practices.
Well, that's what I want to
tell
you.
If you don't want to contribute to their practices.
That's what I want to tell you though, dude.
But if the CEO
You're
believes
right.
something is different.
You're right. But what I'm saying is, how many people work for Starbucks? 10,000? Yeah. I don't know. Do you think 10,000 people would be against gay marriage
you
if
think
the
just
CEO 10, said
10,000 people work for Starbucks?
I don't know.
I think
I'm
your
just,
numbers are way off.
Just hear what I'm saying here. Okay. Hear what I'm saying here. What I'm saying is Starbucks is a company is made up of so many different people and so many different mindsets.
That's true.
So the Starbucks that I go into in Raleigh, every single person in there might hate Trump or might love Trump. I have no fucking idea. I just want a cup of coffee.
Our coffee.
You know, I just want a white mocha. I don't care who you voted for last year.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
In other words, I wouldn't expect a real right-wing conservative to listen to this show.
Yeah.
I mean, don't listen. That's your right. Don't listen. Please don't listen. You're not going to be entertained. But you see what I'm saying? I don't agree with the whole boycott thing.
Yeah.
I'm sorry I got off on a tangent.
No.
I do love my Keurig, so I'm a little biased.
I think, because of where we are as a society, I think we've all, and this is all of us on both sides, this is everyone, we've all gotten a real sensitive because we want our actions to matter. We want our words to matter. We feel like they just don't matter anymore.
Yeah.
So, you know, when we can take a stance, we do. We're like, you know what? Well, I'm not going to eat this or I'm not going to drink this.
Right.
Because... I mean, we're talking about the theme of this show seems to be judgment. We judge everybody. As soon as you say something, do something, express something, right away you're either good or you're evil.
Right.
I mean, and you know what? You can be a good person and you can try to make positive change in the world and you can hold people accountable without judging them.
Yeah.
Because judgment breaks it down to good or bad. So you know what? If you believe this and think this, you're evil. Well, you know what? You're not perfect either. Everyone is a product of this society and everyone's doing the best they can.
Right.
Now, we could try to push for... I'm not going to vote for this guy,
right.
This guy more because I don't agree with what he believes in. And yes, I think it's a terrible thing to take advantage of children. Oh my goodness, that's so terrible. But I'm not going to judge him. I'm just going to try my best to contribute to making him a better person and to making all of us better people.
You know, somebody somebody pointed out at my new job,
won't
name names, but somebody pointed out to me that Walt Disney has a sketchy past because he was into Nazism and shit like that. I don't know if it's true. I haven't researched it, but he was racist in the 40s and 50s. And you know,
Charles Schultz and the Peanuts, one of my favorite comics. He was a conservative Christian.
Do you think I'm going to not watch Disney? I mean, that's just me personally. Yeah. Now, in Michael's defense and other folks, if it gives you a moral dilemma where if you eat that biscuit, you feel dirty inside, then of course don't do it.
Exactly.
Of course, I understand.
You have a choice of where you put your money, where you put your energy, what you put in your body. I mean, make a choice.
I'm just saying, from my point of view, I never let the boycott thing kind of take me over.
I just think we tend to judge first and think second. And you know what? Honestly, Hannity is right. We judge first.
We do.
We judge first and think second.
We do. All right, you ready? Let's do our light bookend, brother. We got about 10 minutes left. We're not doing a promo for Horribly Awkward today because I don't have one.
Aw.
He does a horribly awkward show. He didn't make a promo. I know this guy's
You know what? Not having a promo is pretty horribly awkward.
It is. Maybe that's
especially
his promo.
Especially when we're used to putting promos up.
But listen, I want to tell you, go look in the show notes and you can find Sean there on the Horribly Awkward Show and you can look him up. He basically just talks about really anything that's going on. A lot of video games, a lot of TV, a lot of movies. And he interviews people all the time. Often celebrities, actually. He'll have B-list celebrities on there and he'll interview them. Yeah.
Cool.
So check Sean out and the Horribly Awkward Show. You can find all the information in the show notes. You can also find the information to our Patreon and you can send us money so I can go to Chick-fil-A and get biscuits. I'm just kidding. All right, so let's get into our pop culture segment here, brother.
Alrighty.
So listen, I know I started a new job a month ago.
Congratulations.
A couple months ago, you started a new job.
I did.
We missed the boat, brother. We missed the boat because there's a dream job alert. You can live in Cancun, Mexico and party and get paid for it. Did you hear about this?
I did not.
So Cancun.com, a website.
Okay.
Which
is that a website?
Which helps book accommodations to Mexico's tropical paradise of Cancun.
Okay.
Has an opening for a CEO and they are calling it a Cancun experience officer.
I'm the Cancun experience officer.
Their description of the position is an individual or a team will be hired to live in Cancun for 6 months, stay at the resorts, and experience the beach town. The job period is from March to August of next year. This CEO will be paid $10,000 a month to take and post photos as well as write about the experience in Cancun and how it is suited for an American audience. What do you think, brother? $10,000 a month.
$10,000 a month.
March through August.
They probably pay all your bills. You get to live in Cancun.
I mean,
and all you got to do is experience and tell people about it.
You just live there.
Honestly, it probably works.
It was a dream job alert, right?
We want to do things that other people like to do. So if you see someone partying in Cancun and having a good time, I want to do that.
This sounds fucking amazing, brother. Yeah. I've actually never been to Cancun. Have you?
Nope.
I don't speak Spanish.
They probably speak a lot of English.
You have to go down there and speak Spanish.
I doubt it.
You have to go speak Spanish to go down there.
So you can't order a beer. You have to order a cerveza.
I know how to say cerveza.
Well, no, of course you
por favor. I know how to say that as well.
Yes.
Cerveza, por favor. That's all I say the whole time.
And then after
March to August.
After muchas cervezas, you have to say, ¿Dónde está el baño?
How much is that?
Where's the bathroom?
¿Dónde está la biblioteca? I know that one
Where's
as well.
Where's the library?
Yeah, absolutely.
You're not going to drink
beer. I
want to
do some reading while I'm down there, brother. I want to do some reading. March to August. So March, April, May, June, July, August.
They have got to have
$60,000, brother.
They have to have a whole list of people in line to do this.
60
job.
Grand. You can apply on the website, dude. Cancun.com. Check it out. All right. I know you're going to be excited about this one, so let's get it out of the way.
Okay.
Well, I assume you're going to be, but Rian Johnson, the director of The Last Jedi.
Yeah!
Stoked. And Lucasfilm has announced there's going to be a completely separate Star Wars trilogy.
That's wonderful.
Taking place in the Star Wars universe. It will feature new characters and explore parts of the galaxy previously unexplored. It'll be separate from the Skywalker saga. Can you be as excited about this as you would be the next installment? What's it going to take to get you pumped up for this? Because you don't know any of the characters.
Now, I love the Star Wars universe.
We know.
I'm building my answer here.
Okay, go ahead.
I love the Star Wars universe.
Spoiler alert.
Now, as a Star Wars fan, I'm particularly enamored with or excited by the Skywalker storyline. I like that storyline. Mm-hmm. I like the threads. I like how it's all tied together. Mm-hmm. So immediately, I'm very excited about the Jedi. But I think I'm excited about anything in the Star Wars universe.
Really?
And what this does... This gives them the opportunity to start fresh.
That's the thing.
Because the hardest thing about making a Star Wars movie nowadays, or even a show like The Clone Wars or Rebels, is you have to tie it all together.
Yeah.
You have to do storylines that work into the thread of the story. But giving them freedom, they can do anything, which is wonderful.
Do you think it's possible to create, with this new trilogy, do you think it's possible to create new icons? Like, you know, Vader's an icon. Yoda's an icon. Chewbacca's an icon.
And even the new icons.
Han Solo, Luke Skywalker, Princess Leia. Those are iconic images, brother.
If it's good. Now, all the new, like The Last Jedi and all these, they work on the momentum of the story.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
So they're sold right away.
That's the draw, yeah.
Now, there's going to be a lot of expectation because it has the name Star Wars on it, but they're going to have to do a really good job out of the gate. The first movie is going to have to be awesome for people to get pulled into it.
Yeah, I agree. Do you think
so they're going to have to work hard?
Do you think Kylo Ren is going to end up being iconic in the universe? Do you think he's going to be in that group?
I don't know. I mean,
I love his story, though.
Yes,
I love
a great story.
And I love Adam Driver, too, so that helps.
Yes, we'll have to see. I mean, like, think about the older Star Wars movies, because the effects and the modeling wasn't as great as it is today.
Right.
It all was based on two things, storytelling and characters.
Absolutely.
That's it. That's why the story is so good, and that's why the characters are so iconic, because think, in the first episode, Vader didn't do much, but his character, you fell in love with him right away, or hate with him right away.
Right.
And Luke, I mean, Luke, the way he wielded that, I mean, he's just so good. So
they just grabbed you, brother.
Now, it's a balance between special effects and action sequences, and yes, the good characters are within there, but I think it's a little harder for them to become iconic.
Couple more, brother.
All right.
Let's see. I'll throw those out there real quick. Have you seen the new trend, the pineapple Christmas tree? Have you seen this?
The pineapple Christmas
tree. This is America, brother. I got a couple American stories here for you. So the pineapple Christmas tree is a thing for 2017. It's basically decorating a pineapple with ornaments and lights. That's the story. That's all I got to tell you. What do you think about it? Are you going to have a pineapple Christmas tree up in the Ross household this year, buddy? Now, I think I'm going to do it. I got to be honest. I'm going to put it on my
counter. America's so good
at this. Counter.
You can't invent rituals. Do you know why we put a pine tree in our house in winter? Do you know where the Christmas tree came from?
Are you going to tell me? I feel like we're running out of time. Go ahead.
Very quickly. The evergreen tree does not lose its leaves in the depths of winter.
Yes.
So in the old Celtic tradition, they would bring an evergreen tree into the house to celebrate life in the midst of death.
Right.
Life in the midst of winter.
Right.
Like the Yule log, or like the Christ, which is the light in the darkness.
Right.
These rituals grow over time and become part of our culture.
Yes.
You can't just invent something. Please. Okay, now we're going to decorate a pineapple.
Please don't tell that story to your kids on Christmas Eve.
Rituals kind of take hold over time. I don't think the pineapple's going anywhere.
Look up the trend, the pineapple Christmas tree. It's actually pretty cool. I know you're against it, but it looks kind of cute.
Why a pineapple?
I don't know.
Tell me why.
I guess because it looks like a tree.
Give me some philosophical, theological reason. Why a pineapple?
Because somebody did it and took a picture of it.
It's a pineapple.
Somebody did it, put it on Instagram, and then, you know, people started doing it. I don't know. They were probably in Cancun working for the website.
You know what? There's all these pineapples here.
Look what I did, guys.
There's no evergreen trees. Let's get a pineapple.
So I told you I had a couple American stories for you.
Okay.
This one. Fucking buckle up, buddy. Hidden Valley, the popular dressing company.
Yeah.
Salad dressing
company. I love their honey mustard.
Good. Well, maybe you can do that, spin off of that. But right now, what you can do is you can get a keg of ranch. A keg of Hidden Valley ranch. It is a year's supply of Hidden Valley Ranch that is preserved in the keg. It lasts for a year.
It does. It can't last for a year.
I'm just telling you.
Doesn't it go bad or turn into McDonald's special sauce or something?
Well, you probably have to have it refrigerated. But
who has room for a keg in the refrigerator?
I don't know. That's how they're advertising it. It's part of their holiday line, which also includes Hidden Valley holiday socks, holiday sweaters, and a ranch fountain. You can get a fountain. Your face is just like, are you fucking serious? I'm not kidding, brother. Look it up. So the Hidden Valley Kegger Ranch. Let's do it. Thanksgiving.
How much are their sales hurting?
Let's hit it, brother.
For them to push the keg. Who wants a keg of ranch?
Hidden Valley's doing it.
I mean, ranch is delicious. People like ranch dressing on everything, but who wants a keg of ranch or a ranch fountain?
I mean, there's probably a few people.
If you went to a party,
there's probably a
Christmas
few
party, and there was a ranch fountain, wouldn't you turn and walk away?
Probably. You know what this would be good for, though?
Chocolate fountain.
You know what this would be good for, though?
Champagne fountain.
You know what this would be good for?
Even a caramel fountain.
Do you know what this would be good for?
Tell me.
Like a Super Bowl party. You have like 100 people and you just get a keg of ranch with wings and shit. That might be good. Think about it.
I don't think even a Super Bowl party would finish a keg of ranch. There's a lot of ranch dressing.
Here's the last thing, and then we'll throw you for a loop. You mentioned it earlier. You did a spoiler alert. Okay. Paris has opened its first ever nudist restaurant.
Yay!
It's called, appropriately, Au Naturel.
And you have to be nude.
Which requires...
You have to take your clothes off when you walk in the
door. Which requires patrons to be naked when dining. Guests are required to leave their clothes at the door and are asked to leave if they're not willing to bear all during dinner.
Gerald, do you think someone could sit with you while you were naked and eat?
Well, my wife does it every night somehow. I don't know. The restaurant boasts the nudist lifestyle and describes the experience as complete freedom. What do you think, brother? I got your loop for you, which goes in conjunction.
I like the sacredness of the human body.
I thought you were going to say
I also like it's. I like that parts are hidden. Like, I think women are so sexy
right?
when parts are covered.
Yeah.
It leads to the imagination. I don't want to see everything all the time. All
right, well.
And I don't want to eat around
them. Well, here's one that...
I'm okay with it. I like a little to the imagination. I like the mystery of the human body. I like that things are sacred, I think.
Fair enough. Yeah. Well, here's what... You'll like the loop then. So what would be the worst place that you had to go if it were nudist only? You can only go there if you're nude. The worst place you could think of. Everybody's naked, including yourself.
The worst place. I'm going to go back to this hot tub ride you talked about. And I'm going to say the amusement park.
Throwback Thursday, brother.
Because here's the thing. Amusement park.
Okay.
It's hot. You're in the sun all day. Everyone's hot and sweaty.
That's true.
And not only do you have to walk in crowds naked, you got to sit on rides after people
that's
naked.
Yeah, no good, right?
You got to eat.
Could you imagine doing the stand-up roller coaster with your balls hanging over the thing? I don't want to do that. I can't do that. I can't protect that.
So
you know what mine is?
I'm going to say the amusement
park.
That's
a good one. You know what mine is? What? An airplane. Could you imagine riding a flight like from California to everybody naked? You sit next to, I mean, I already hate like the guys that manspread next to me on the plane. Can you imagine a manspreading with your fucking dinghy flying all over the I can't. You ready for your final thought?
Are you picturing sitting next to Louis C.K. or something?
Yeah, I don't want to do that. He might jerk off in front of me. You ready? You can laugh. That's okay. Too soon? Give me your final thought, brother love, on episode 51. What you got?
Well, you know, we tend to jump to judgment right away, but you don't have to do that. You can examine a situation. You can feel certain ways about it, feel good, feel bad, but judging is placing a one-dimensional good or evil on them, saying that, you know what, I don't care about the particulars of your situation. I don't care about where you're from or where you're going. I'm just going to label you as evil because it makes me feel better about the world because now the world is black and white and I can understand it. So you know what? You don't have to judge. You can feel good. You can feel bad. You can move forward. You can be a better person without judgment.
Judge not, lest ye be judged.
My man Master Jay said that.
That's what I'm saying, brother. All right, so episode 51's in the books, Andy.
Yes.
Brother
love.
We're 1 year older. I'm 1 year older today. Old as shit, brother. Older than dirt.
Yes.
Well, maybe not that old, but close. I'm getting there.
Yes.
Thank you to everyone for tuning in. You can find all of our information in the show notes. You can find Sean and Horribly Awkward's information in the show notes as well. Andy, we'll be back next week for number 52, brother. Number 52.
You'll be a week older.
If I make it.
If you make it.
We'll see. You may be naked next week. You may dine naked. I'll get us something to eat. We'll just sit here naked.
I'll get back to you.
Let me know.
Okay.
I'm open to anything, brother. I'll see you next week.
Thank you for listening to Two Peas on a Podcast. The views and opinions expressed were solely those of the hosts and are not necessarily shared by our distributors or hosting companies. Visit twopeasonapod.com for more info.